This reading is from the Acts of the Apostles in the 11th chapter. The apostles and the brothers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had accepted the word of God. So Peter went up to Jerusalem. The circumcised believers confronted him, saying, "You entered the house of a circumcised person and ate with them." Peter began and explained to them step by step, saying, "I was at prayer in the city of Joppa, when, in a trance, I had a vision. Something resembling a large sheet came down, lowered from the sky by its four corners, and it came to me. Looking intently into it, I observed and saw four-legged animals of the earth, wild beasts and reptiles and all the birds of the sky. And I heard a voice say to me, 'Get up, Peter, slaughter and eat.' But I said, 'Certainly not, sir, because nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time a voice from heaven answered, 'What God has made clean, you are not to call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was drawn up again into the sky. Just then, three men appeared at the house where we were, who had been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to accompany them without discriminating. These six brothers also went with me. And we entered the man's house, and he related to us how he had seen an angel standing in his house saying, 'Send someone to Joppa to summon Peter, or Simon, who is called Peter, and he will speak words to you, by which you and your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and it came upon, as it had come upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, who had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gifts he gave to us when we came to believe in the Lord Jesus, how was I able to hinder God?" When they heard this, they stopped objecting and glorified God, saying, "God then has granted life-giving repentance to the Gentiles too." These are the words of the Lord. As far as the first reading today, I want to just say this word because it's a very pertinent word, I think, for all of us today. It took the apostles 10 whole chapters of Acts to get around to baptizing the first Gentile. That takes place in this gospel today, in the gospel that you heard on Saturday. The baptism of the first Gentile, namely Cornelius, who was a Roman military official, and his whole family, they're baptized. Now, you say 10 chapters, well, okay, big deal. Now, we're probably dealing with a couple of decades of material. You see, oh, it's only the 10th chapter. Our mind, we think of Acts as being this sort of rapid fire, but it's actually talking about an extended period of time. And I would just say that this is disgraceful. This is absolutely disgraceful that the early church took this long to baptize the first Gentile. Can I say it again? It was disgraceful. Jesus had told them, "Go therefore unto all the nations and make disciples of them." All the nations. Now, but they did the same thing that you and I would do. They preached and talked to people they were comfortable with. All right. And they hung out in their neighborhood. They stayed in their among people they knew and, quote, felt comfortable with. And this is an understandable, natural human thing. But when you have a mandate to go to all the nations, it is disgraceful. Now, so what happens is they just kind of hang out. Now, we had the first stages of reaching out when the Lord said, enough of that. And he allowed a persecution to break out in the church in Jerusalem, and they scatter to the north into Samaria, and suddenly they're making converts among the Samaritans. Now you say, well, aren't they Gentiles? Well, yes and no. They're worse than Gentiles, actually, to a Jewish way of thinking. They were half-breeds. They were a group of Jewish people who, during the, in 721 BC, the Syrians invaded the northern kingdom and destroyed it. And the Jews who remained there intermarried with the invaders, and they became a group known as Samaritans. So they were no longer considered by the Jewish people to be Jewish, but they sort of were and they sort of weren't. And a lot of well,
I think we know from some of the racial dynamics in our country, you know, that there's people who are in the group and people who are out of the group and people who are sort of in between, and the kind of we sort of this and we sort of that, kind of all these different variations and degrees of things. And so, again, technically Gentiles, technically not Gentiles. So we're going to just say that in the end, the first real Gentile, it takes 10 chapters, a disgraceful thing. But notice, Peter, how is the Lord going to resolve it? He goes to Peter, the first pope, and inspires him in a dream. And you heard the dream described today of this sheep and these animals take Peter, slaughter and eat. I will not do this, he says. Nothing unclean has ever touched my lips. And God said, what I have called clean, you are not to call unclean. Jesus had said in the Gospels that all foods were clean. So once again, Peter has to be reminded of what Jesus had taught about food, but the food is a symbol of humanity. Do not sort out humanity. Clean humanity and unclean humanity. I have called everyone to my kingdom to be clean. Do not do that, Peter. Stop thinking. Stop this stinking thinking and do what you've been told to do. Now, the very next thing that happens, knock on Peter's door, a Gentile is asking for information about this new way. Peter says, aha! Well, I'm not real wild about going to the house of a Gentile, but I guess I better obey God. And off he goes. And he does something unthinkable to a first century Jew. He actually goes into the house, crosses the threshold of the door of a Gentile, and apparently has a meal with them. Even more unthinkable. And then in this process, confers baptism. The RCIA process was very short in those days. But a couple of you have been through that, so I just point that out. But it baptizes his whole family. Now word gets out. And the crowd gathers around Peter. How dare you? How could you do such a thing? A stinking Gentile in our lovely little church. You hear the racism? You hear the dripping bigotry? Okay. And Peter says, look, man, you know, the Lord told me to do it and I did it. End of story. And they conclude. And this translation, I think, has cleaned it up a little bit. It says they stopped objecting when they heard what Peter said, and they said, "Well, God then has granted life-giving repentance to the Gentiles too." But in the end, most translations I'm familiar with have them say it a little bit more sarcastically. Well, I guess life-giving repentance has been granted even to the Gentiles. And we know that this racial tension doesn't end. They have to have a council of the church in another four chapters, because there's all kinds of debates about women. If they have to come into our lovely little sort of Jewish community church, which now believes in Jesus, then let them at least adopt the Jewish way of life. You know, eat the proper foods, say the proper prayers, keep the proper feasts, wear the kind of clothing we wear, put phylacteries on, basically become Jews. And Paul is like, man, you're torpedoing the mission to the Gentiles. You're asking them to take all these cultural trappings that have nothing to do with Christianity, really. And then there was a great debate, even among the apostles. And they're going to have to resolve this, as we'll see. Peter has to once again stand up and kind of say, look, man, you know, this is the decision. And they all say, okay, finally. And James, who finally says, all right, let's just have a letter sent then, and this is the deal. But again, it was a real struggle for the early church, all right? So it's a little moral tale for us, though. I've been in parishes. I won't, in this case, name a lot of names, but I was in a parish once where, again, the neighborhood had changed. It was going to become African-American, and the parish remained predominantly white, and people were kind of commuting back to that parish from their neighborhoods to which they had, quote, fled. And they were coming. And they were very frightened because, well, what's going to happen to our church? And there came a pastor along who said, you know, I think we ought to actually reach out to our new neighbors. Well, the anxiety and the back and forth. He says, I think we ought to have a gospel mass. Wow! That was really throwing down the gauntlet. I mean, the glove was on the floor and everyone was like, oh my God, what are we going to do now? This pastor wants to change our church. And again, a lot of anxiety, frustration. What are we going to do? Our little church might change. And, you know, yeah,
And you go back to that church now. I've been away from that church for about almost 16 years. And it's an African-American parish now. They've made the transition, but they reflect their neighborhood. And it is largely what it needs to be. And you know, again, there's still a core of people who had been there, but a lot of people decided not to go there any longer and went to, quote, other churches, other Catholic parishes. Frustrating how we do this in our communities. And yet we are also now in a kind of a similar situation where, again, historically, a lot of deep roots here of a vigorous African-American community, which is now once... We've seen this neighborhood change several times in the history of this parish, and... again, transitions seem to be underway, and the question for us is, will we be able to accept our new neighbors, who may not always appreciate some of our longer liturgies, who may not always appreciate some aspects of, you know, will we be able to diversify and I think continue to keep our the core of our beautiful African-American expression, especially at the 11 o'clock Mass, but maybe adapt 8 and 4:30 a little bit, and I don't know, I mean, there's some changes we're going to need to discuss and look as we begin to try to reach out to our neighborhood here. So a lot of questions for us too, all right? I think I don't experience the same kind of anxiety and, you know, oh my God, what are we going to do kind of, but there's a little bit of concern I sense in the air. And we're going to have to look at it. But again, I want you to just see this is a moral tale in this story of Acts. It's not just about something 2,000 years ago. It's right here. It's not our other parishes, it's around us. And again, it's this. Are you and I going to have our little cozy communities? Or are we going to hear what God says and get out of our four walls and get out and bring in our neighbors and do what we're supposed to do? That's the challenge. So, it's not far from us. It's right outside these four walls. Amen.